Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. It's Jazz Festival time, and the artistic director of today's Montclair Jazz Festival, Christian McBride, is thrilled to have Jose James on the bill.
Jose, he's pulling it up strong for the fellas, and he's just a really great singer.
I'll chat with vocalist, composer, songwriter, and arranger Michael Mayo, who will be performing at the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival on Saturday, September 20th.
Well, I like to feel both grounded and lifted at the same time when I'm performing, and like getting the audience feedback really helps.
And we'll also hear about the 18th annual OSPEC West Orange Jazz Fest, which will take place next Saturday.
We begin the program with a Jazz for Kids concert series.
Plus, our film critic, Harlan Jacobson, takes us to the 50th Toronto International Film Festival. All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. The 16th annual Montclair Jazz Festival begins at noon today. One of the headliners will be singer, composer, and guitarist Jose James. The festival's artistic director, 9-time Grammy Award-winning bassist Christian McBride, is thrilled to have Jose James on the bill. Jose is one of the many great singers on McBride's latest big band album, Without Further Ado, Volume 1.
Everybody, said everybody knows I'm on it. Everybody knows, everybody knows. Everybody knows, yes.
Christian McBride has great respect for the diversity of Jose James's music.
You know, when he sings straight ahead jazz, I mean, he knocks it out of the park. You know, I was already a fan of his. We met in 2008 doing a Marvin Gaye tribute together. And you know, he sang the Marvin stuff great. But then when I saw him on the road with McCoy Tyner doing they were doing a tribute to the John Coltrane, Johnny Hartman album. That was incredible to hear him sing with McCoy Tyner. And then he did that Billie Holiday tribute album on Blue Note some years back. And I said, man, this cat is extra special. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of really awesome jazz male vocalist out there. I mean, like the girls are beating the guys by a lot. So I'm like, fellas, what are you doing? You know? So Jose, he's pulling it up strong for the fellas, and he's just a really great singer.
Every morning find me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I seen. Life's a losing gamble to me. Everybody knows I'm moaning.
You can catch Jose James at the Montclair Jazz Festival today at Lackawanna Station. The day starts off at noon with the Gotham Kings and Alfonso Horn. Other performers include Lakeisha Benjamin, Luisito Quintero, and Christian McBride and Ursa Major. We'll all be celebrating the spirit and music of this year's legacy artist, the late James Moody. You can get much more information about the Montclair Jazz Festival at WBGO.org. Vocalist, composer, songwriter, and arranger Michael Mayo will be performing at the 15th Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival Saturday, September 20th, and has been enjoying the tour of his second full-length LP, Fly, on Mack Avenue Records.
A bag of bones. Moon's homeward bound, unmotivated. Look around, you find your home in a bag of bones. A tethered mind is a sign of life's worth living now. You feel connected through the ground, but as you grow, you eat, you sleep, you know the ground way down.
It's been a personal album for you in many ways, right?
Very much so. I wanted this album to be about letting go a little bit and not being overly precious and overly intellectualizing every single detail of things. I wanted to just like trust in my experience, trust in my skill set, trust in my community, and let the music speak for itself. So when I was composing and arranging for the project, I was doing a lot of following my first instinct and my second instinct. Because, you know, historically I'll do the, like, I'll try 13, 14, 15, 16 different versions of an idea. And then once I've heard all 16, then I'll pick number 8 or sometimes number 1 or sometimes number 16. Right. Whereas with this project, I kind of just wanted to really feel that immediacy and let the ideas flow and fly. That's the main reason I chose to call it Fly. And yeah, I'm so proud of how it's turned out. We had a deadline, and so I found it oddly freeing because I did not have the time to stress about certain things. Like, I literally didn't have time to worry because that would have taken time away from actually doing it. And so I found it very freeing, and it allowed me the ability to actually just like write with clarity and focus. And then in terms of the actual session, it was Linda Mahon O on bass, Shy Maestro on piano and Rhodes, and Nate Smith on drums. They are all so individually and collectively amazing that they understood the music right away. You know, I send demos and charts ahead of time just so people have a reference, right? But we literally had one rehearsal.
Of the wonderful things that you get in a life, there are four. Now there may not be many, but nobody needs any more. Of the many facts making the list of life, truth takes the lead. And to relax, knowing the gist of life is truth you need. Then the second is honor, and happiness makes number 3. When you put them together, you know what the last one must be. Baby, so the truth, honor, and happiness, and one thing more, meaning only wonderful, wonderful love that'll make it four.
Has anybody ever talked to you about you remind me of Bobby McFerrin because of your wonderful range and the different sounds that come out of you? Has anybody ever said that to you?
I've definitely gotten it before, and I take it as high praise because Bobby has always been one of my idols. Like, I have practiced so much just listening to him. And in fact, his album, The Voice, just the solo vocal album that he released a long while ago, when I heard that record in college, it like absolutely changed the way that I conceive what is possible vocally. So I give all the praise to Master Bobby. I still have yet to meet him, so I'm hoping that we get to make that happen at some point. But yeah, he's incredible. He's a huge influence of mine.
What does live performing mean to Michael Mayo?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that kind of grows and shifts. I think it's just going to be a good time. You know, who knows how long the solos are going to be? Who knows what order the songs are going to be in? Who knows what we're going to start with? Who knows who's going to start the song, right? Sometimes a song might start a little bit differently depending on the day, depending on how we're feeling. So I like it when performing feels alive, and I like there to be a little bit of mischief. So, yeah, who knows?
I like the freshness of your approach. It's like, you know, what's going to happen? We're not sure yet. We're just going to see what happens. And I love that. And that's also a beautiful part about jazz. When you're experiencing the audience, they will take you to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's definitely an interplay between the performers and the audience. And you can sort of pick up on it right away. I really like to, there will be the first couple songs of a set, well, I'll look out and be like, okay, where are my people? They're all my people, but there are some people who like, they give you the look and you're like, okay, I see what you're responding to. I like to feel both grounded and lifted at the same time when I'm performing, and like getting the audience feedback really helps imbue it with that, I think.
Fly has so many tunes that will either soothe your soul or get you going, get you happy, get you in a good mood. I mean, I think that's one of the great aspects of your work, Michael, is that you can listen through the whole album. It takes you on a little bit of a journey, but everything seems so positive with you.
I mean, thank you. This album definitely, I wanted this album to feel kind of like buoyant and shiny and kind of light. I think, and that's, not the entirety of who I am or anything, but I really just wanted this album to feel very like very cool, very like smooth, very easy, and not easy in a sense of like the music is like necessarily easy to play, but I wanted it to feel like it had access points so that you can get into it and feel at home and comfortable and cozy. And I think we did that. And is that necessarily what all my music is going to sound like forever? Probably not. But I think that just for this time, it felt like the right thing.
Once again, Michael Mayo will be at the 15th annual Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival on Saturday, September 20th. You can see my entire conversation with Michael Mayo on the WBGO YouTube channel. The 18th annual OSPEC West Orange Jazz Fest will take place on Saturday, September 20th from 1 to 8 p.m. Pleasant Valley Productions has been presenting this exciting event each year, and joining us today to talk about this year's OSPEC West Orange Jazz Fest is the founder and board president of Pleasant Valley Productions, Camille Vecchio DiLorenzo. Camille, great to see you.
Oh, thank you, Doug. Nice to see you too.
So before we get to the lineup, Camille, why is this festival so important to you and the West Orange community and beyond?
Well, it is super important to me and Pleasant Valley Productions because we are implementing this educational performance opportunity and the Kids Jazz Concert Series. So it's super important. I mean, among the fact that we've got a stellar lineup, we begin the program with a Jazz for Kids concert series made possible by our new partnership with WBGO, which we're so grateful for.
And Jerome Jennings will be the guest for the WBGO Jazz for Kids event that opens things up. And he's so wonderful with the kids and such a great artist. I know you're looking forward to this.
Very much looking forward to it. And I do have to say that it is one of our goals is that this festival become a completely free admission festival. We are not quite there yet, but this opportunity that Jerome and WBGO are giving us allows us to do the whole first hour, the family section of the program at no charge. So that's kind of like our start. And we hope within a couple of years we'll have some bigger sponsors and we'll be able to make all 7 hours completely free.
You mentioned the word start. When did your love of jazz start for you?
Well, I come from a musical family, so I was raised on all different genres of music. I did tend to lean toward musical theater, but I went to a college that had a very strong jazz program. So really in college is where I started to open my ears to the joy that is jazz.
Well, you got to tell us the college.
I went to William Patterson University.
Absolutely, yep. WPU has a wonderful music program. Any shows that you performed in that you want to tell us about?
Oh, Oh my goodness. Now we're talking about my history.
Yeah.
Yeah,
We got to get to know you better.
so I did begin as a performer, and it wasn't long after I tackled a few challenging roles that I decided I wanted to be more behind the scenes. I wanted to be part of what made it happen. So for the last 35 years, I've been a stage director, producer, and stage manager of musical theater, mostly local. But in 2011, Pleasant Valley Productions was formed because I'm West Orange born and raised, and I saw a thirst for it in town. We hadn't had a community theater program in quite some time, so I thought it was time to bring one back. And we then became affiliated with the Oscar Schindler Performing Arts Center. We became the program managers there. And for as long as I remember, 24 years, OSPAC was hosting a jazz festival. It was started by a different managing organization, but I knew when we took on the responsibility of managing this venue, I knew we had to bring Jazz Fest back. It had gone away for too many years, but I did not want to jump in year one and decide that overnight I could just be a jazz festival producer. So we did our homework and we got all of our ducks in a row. And once we decided we're ready for this, we brought it back in 2022. So this is the third year that, nope, that's not true. The fourth year that Pleasant Valley Productions will be producing the Jazz Festival. But as a resident and a lover of the arts and jazz, I attended the OSPAC Jazz Festival for years.
And WBGO not only is partnering with this Jazz Fest this year, but Monifa Brown, our very own host, is hosting the entire event.
She is literally the catalyst in making all of this happen. And we are so fortunate to have her this year. It was really Monifa's idea to open up this conversation about the Jazz Kids concert series. And because it is so in line with our mission, it was perfect. Perfect.
So let's talk a little bit about the festival as we keep with this WBGO theme. Bobby Sanabria will close the festival on Saturday night, September 20th.
We're so excited about Bobby. We cannot wait. Again, I haven't produced Jazz Festival for the 18 years, so looking back, I don't know all the caliber of talent. I know that that stage has hosted so much talent, but the fact that Bobby Sanabria will be on our stage, it just gives me chills.
And there's the Bruce Williams Quintet, the Champion Fulton Trio, Matthew Whitaker Organ Trio, the Risa Printup Trio, and the Rutgers University John Coltrane Ensemble under the direction of Dr. Anthony Branker. So you have really everything covered there, all different kinds of music covered. And can you tell us about the partnership with Rutgers University there?
Okay, so the ensemble is led by Dr. Anthony Branker, and his John Coltrane Ensemble are all undergrad students. And again, one other connection to our mission to give performance opportunity to students. So that is the connection. And again, Monifa Brown made that connection for us. I mean, she has really been a glue in terms of, getting connection to contracting these people. Some of them know about the OSPAC Jazz Festival just because it's been around for 18 years. So it's got small fame, and they've heard about it and they love the stage. And jazz festivals typically are in outdoor areas, right? Where, the conditions may not be luxurious, but we try to create this setting for them with air-conditioned private dressing rooms, private bathrooms, VIP tents. We want to make it really special for them. we just want we want them to love the performance experience so much and connect so much with our community audience that they always want to come back.
And if you're unfamiliar with Ozpec, it's a picturesque pavilion located at 4 Boland Drive, where the festival will be held, conveniently located off I-280, exit B in West Orange. And since its inception, the festival really has presented a dazzling cross-section of local and world-renowned jazz and blues artists. Jazz festivals are just fun, but one of the things that's great that you know all about is the diversity of the crowd. I mean, they always say, hey, if you want to see the Rainbow Coalition, go to a jazz concert, right?
Absolutely. I call our space and jazz music a human connection. Jazz music connects people, and this beautiful OSPAC setting connects people. And it's like a gathering space for this beautiful genre that is jazz. The early promoter of Jazz Festival was a local jazz artist named Kate Baker. I don't know if you're familiar with that name, sure. But I certainly cannot sit in an interview and take credit for 18 years of Jazz Festival by any means. Like I said, I wanted to learn more about it, make the right connections, and make certain that I was doing right by the OSPAC Jazz Festival name. Kate Baker produced the Jazz Festival for many, many, many years, and her husband, Vic Juris, graced the stage with his beautiful music for so many years. And then following Kate, another organization took over and gave Jazz Festival a shot. And we are probably the third managing organization to come in. And I hope that Jazz Festival in West Orange continues forever.
Yeah, we certainly miss Vic Juris. He was a
sure.
Tremendous guitarist and bright light. I believe he was Gary Walker's first in-studio guest when he was on the air, and Gary has been with WBGO for more than four decades, so we certainly miss Vic Juris. He was even a guest on my Sports Jam podcast one year because he's such a boxing fan, and we had so much fun. Lawn chairs and blankets are suggested, and the Kids Jazz Concert, which kicks off the event at 1 p.m., as Camille mentioned, is free. And if you want more information, you can go to what website?
www.pleasantvalleyproductions.org.
That's the website to get the information about for tickets required to attend the remainder of the festival. Thanks again, Camille.
Thank you, Doug.
Toronto International Film Festival turned 50 this year. It began life as a lot of film festivals do, as the dream of some local guys and to show off Toronto as a cultural alternative to Montreal, a city in decline as Canada's dominant force. Our film critic, Harlan Jacobson, has gone to Toronto for about four-fifths of its lifespan and is there now.
You know, whenever you end a festival, you think of all of the films that you didn't see, and all of the films that you need to see. And Toronto, at 50, is no different. I got to see some new films, and I got to catch up with ones that I haven't seen. Dianu, as it is said, for TIFF's 50th, until we got to Wednesday the 10th, which was the endpoint of a controversy that began back in August. The festival had first invited Barry Averich's The Road Between Us, a Canadian documentary about Noam Tibon, a retired general in the Israeli Defense Forces, who on October 7th, 2023, got in his car with Gali, his wife, a former teacher, and drove from their home in Tel Aviv to rescue their son, his wife, and their toddler granddaughters, barricaded in a safe room in their home in Kibbutz Nahal Oz on the Gaza border. The IDF, as you remember, was missing in action. Avrich and General Tibon and his wife walk us through their rescue, narrating the event. Inspiring to learn that Tibon stopped en route to rescue others, dispatched seriously wounded soldiers to hospitals, and then mounted the only counterattack 10 hours into that awful, fateful day, finally saving his family. Last month, in an extraordinary move, TIFF programming chair Cameron Bailey pulled the film from the lineup. In a brief release, he said, firstly, that Avrich had not fully secured rights to footage, which is always a festival concern, and secondly, that many TIFF staff members did not want the festival to screen a film sympathetic to Israel in the current war. Now, to many in Toronto, the unsecured rights reason felt like a cover story for an internal staff revolt. The revoked invitation set off a firestorm here. That city's strong Jewish community protested that a vital part of this current war story was being suppressed. TIFF's home, the Bell Lightbox, a five-story hub in a modern skyscraper that helped anchor the renaissance of downtown Toronto, sits on land donated by the family of Canadian film director-producer Ivan Reitman, who were Jews. After internal wrangling, TIFF re-invited the documentary and as a high-security event gave the film a single screening at Roy Thompson Hall, the festival's main gala venue. I was there. The screening was a sellout. Bailey introduced the film along with the filmmakers and publicly apologized for mishandling the affair. Here's what it sounded like afterwards. Police were everywhere. Protesters filled the plaza out front. Everyone went home, however, in one piece. Film festivals at their best show controversial films. That's one of the roles a good film festival plays in the life of a culture. The Road Between Us is an interview format with survivors, witnesses, the general and his wife, Gali, after the screening.
I still don't believe it happened to us. It happened to so many people. It happened to my country. It's still hard to believe. And we are so joyful that our family made it through, but our hearts are still with the families that are grieving, so many of them, and with the hostages in Gaza.
The unsecured rights cited by TIFF pertain to footage taken from Hamas live streaming cell phone cameras as they execute people in cars, throw hand grenades into shelters, and shoot people. All of that is very nearly impossible to watch. The film is about testimony and documentation. It was not filmed as an even-handed sift of an issue, and it's not designed as an aesthetic piece of work. It is heartrending and heart-stopping, full stop. Here's what else a festival can do, and TIFF at 50 did so. My day began with a screening of Palestine 36, a fiction film by Anna Marie Jassir that dips into the long timeline of the history of the region in 1936 to create a quite moving story of Palestinians pushed out of a village at the hands of British soldiers carrying out British interests in the region it still administered, badly as usual. Jeremy Irons plays the top man in the British High Command, which Jassir's film sees as aligned with Jews ever since the Balfour Declaration of 1917. Both The Road Between Us and Palestine 36 are by design films built on deeply held political affinities. The facts are in dispute, the vulnerabilities are not. We must now always hold two ideas in our heads at the same time, and often more than two, including ars gratia artis, art for art's sake, that underlines the roaring lion of the MGM logo. Holding on to two ideas in a hot-button world is what good film festivals can do. At 50, Toronto, I hope, is just getting started. And I'm Harlan Jacobson for WBGO in Toronto at the 50th Toronto Film Festival.
Thanks for listening to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to the world's greatest jazz and blues station, WBGO, at WBGO.org.